This is Murray Yates welcoming you today to Mission Breakthrough. Welcome to Mission Breakthrough. Today we are looking at Psalm 91, and we're taking some examples out of a book by Peggy Joyce Ruth, and there are some real life stories here, and just to show us today about God's shield of protection. We're looking at Psalm 91 first. Verse 1. Have you ever been inside a cabin with a big roaring fire in the fireplace, enjoying a wonderful feeling of safety and security as you watch an enormous electrical storm going on outside? It is a warm, wonderful sensation knowing you are being sheltered and protected from the storm. And that is what Psalm 91 is all about, shelter. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I am sure you can think of something that represents security to you personally. When I think of security and protection, I have a couple of childhood memories that automatically come to mind. And Ruth's father was a large, muscular man who played football during his high school and college years, but he interrupted his education to serve in the military. That is during World War II. Mother, who was pregnant with my little brother, and I lived with my grandparents in Texas while Dad was in the service. As young as I was, I vividly remember one happy day when my father unexpectedly opened the door and walked into my grandmother's living room. Before that eventful day, I had been tormented with fears because some neighborhood children had told me I would never see my father again. Like kids telling a ghost story, they taunted me that my dad would come home in a box. And when he walked through that door, a sense of peace and security came over me and stayed with me for the rest of his time in the army. Another thing that she experienced was this. One of the outings which her father took her on turned out to be more eventful than most, most likely because an experience she would never forget. It had been beautiful when we started out, but by the time we finished our perch fishing and headed towards the cove, everything had changed. A storm came up upon the lake. So suddenly, there was no time to get back to the boat deck, and the sky turned black. Lightning flashed, and drops of rain fell with such force they actually stung when they hit. And moments later, we were being pelted by marble-sized hailstones. I saw the fear in my mother's eyes, and I knew we were in danger. But before I had time to wonder what we were going to do, Dad had driven the boat to the rugged shoreline of the only island on the lake. And although boat docks surround the island now, back then it looked like an abandoned island with absolutely no place to take cover. Within moments, Dad had us all out of the boat and ordered the three of us to lie down beside our mother on the ground. He quickly pulled a canvas tarp out of the bottom of the boat, knelt down on the road beside us and thrust the tarp up over all five of us. That storm continued to rage outside the makeshift tent that he had fanned over us. But the rain beat down, the lightning flashed and the thunder rolled. Yet I could think of nothing else but how it felt to have my dad's arms around us. There was a certain calm under the protection of the shield my father had provided that is hard to explain now. In fact, I had never felt as safe and secure in my entire life. I remember thinking that I wished the storm would last forever. I didn't want anything to spoil the wonderful security I felt that day in our secret hiding place. But feeling my father's protective arms around me, I never wanted the moment to end. You see, the Old Testament has a way of building our faith. And it gives us some most intense illustrations of the very essence of a personal relationship with God. And man has no innate built-in shelter. Alone he stands unsheltered against the elements and must run to the shelter himself. So in the first verse of Psalm 91, God offers us more than protection. It is as if he rolls out the hospitality mat and personally invites us in. And you know, I've experienced for myself this kind of peace and security which comes when you have not only accepted Jesus Christ into your life, but also as an ongoing thing. Sometimes we are afflicted by wrong thoughts. We have to deal with them. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves that it is the very reason that we are here, and the very reason that we are following Jesus Christ is because he was willing to die upon the cross for you and for me. But you see, it's because of that, of course, that we get our peace. But here, we are beginning to realize, perhaps, that God longs for us to have a place of safety as well as peace. And that safety, of course, is under his wings, as we'll see. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That's from Psalm 91, verse 2. Notice that this verse, verse 2, says, I will say, and you can circle that word in your own mind, because not only must we learn to find that secure place in God, but we must learn to verbalize our trust. You see, we answer back to God what he says to us in the first verse. There is power in saying his word back to him. We are not told simply to think the word, we are told to say the word. For example, Joel 3:10 tells the weak to say, I am a mighty man. Over and over again, we find great men of God like David, Joshua, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, declaring their confessions of faith aloud in dangerous situations. Notice that what becomes to happen on the inside when you say, Lord, you are my refuge, you are my fortress, you are my Lord and my God. It is in you that I put my total trust. And the more we say it aloud, the more confident we become in his protection. Let me remind ourselves is that this is not the power of positive thinking. It goes beyond that. This is actually putting one's trust in God himself. And because God is living and real, we know we're not just speaking positive words, but these words God will answer. So many times as Christians we mentally agree that the Lord is our refuge, but that is not enough, for power is released in saying it out loud. When we say it and mean it, we are placing ourselves in his shelter. By voicing his lordship and his protection, we open the door to the secret place. One cannot miss the fact that this verse uses the word my three times, my refuge, my fortress, my God. And the psalmist makes a personal claim to God. The reason we can trust is that we know who God is to us. This verse makes the acknowledge of who God is. He is a refuge and a fortress. And these metaphors are significant military terms. God himself becomes the defensive site for us against all invading enemies. So the enemy can come and try to put things in your mind. He can come and try to take you away from the faith. He can do these things. But you have the power in God to be able to resist him, and in so doing, you too will find that wonderful peace, that refuge, and that the fact that God is your fortress, and you too will be able to say, yes, God is my protection. And have you ever tried to protect yourself from all the bad things that can happen? Well, God knows we can't do it. And in Psalm 60, verse 11, it tells us deliverance by man is in vain, and God has to be our refuge before the promises of Psalm 91 will ever work. You see, we can go to the doctor once a month for a checkup. We can double-check our cars every day to make sure the motors, the tyres, and the brakes are all in good working order. We can fireproof our homes, and we can store up food for a time when we may be in need. We can take every precaution imaginable that the military offers, yet we still cannot do enough to protect ourselves from every potential danger life has to offer. It's impossible. It isn't that any one of these precautions is wrong. It is that not one of these things in and of itself has the power to protect. God has to be the one to whom we run to first of all. He is the only one who has an answer for whatever might come. When I think of how utterly impossible it is to protect ourselves from all the evils in the world, I'm reminded of sheep. And sheep have no real protection other than their shepherd. In fact, a sheep is the only animal I can think of that has no built-in protection. It has no sharp teeth, no offensive odour to spray to drive off its enemies, no loud bark, and it certainly can't run fast enough to escape danger. And that's why the Bible calls us God's sheep, for God is saying, I want you to see me as your source of protection. I am your shepherd. Now, he may use doctors, policemen, firemen, store sellers, bank accounts, and so forth to meet our specific needs, but our hearts have to run to him first as our shepherd and our protector. Then he will choose the methods he desires to bring about the protection. Let us also remember that we can do the possible, but God does the impossible. Some quote Psalm 91 as though it was just some kind of magic wand, but there is nothing magical about this psalm. It is powerful, and it works simply because it is the Word of God, alive and active. And we confess it aloud simply because the Bible tells us to do so. When I'm facing a challenge, I've learned to say, in this particular situation, I choose to trust you, Lord. And we can do that in most circumstances which we find hard and which we come up against. Now, the difference it makes is when you proclaim the fact that your trust allowed, and the amazing thing is it starts to work with God because God starts to move on your behalf. Take notice of what flies out of your mouth in times of trouble. The worst thing that can happen is for someone to come out that brings death. Cursing gives God nothing to work with. This psalm tells us to do just the opposite. Speak life. C.M. Mortlock, our war correspondent in World War II, reported an unexplainable and miraculous occurrence and it concerned 60 German aircraft, and they strafed more than 400 men who were pinned down on the sandy Dunkirk beaches without the benefits of any place to take cover. Although the men were repeatedly attacked by machine guns and bombed by enemy aircraft, not one single man was hurt. Every man in that group left the beach without a scratch. And Morlock stated, "I have personally been told by Navy men who picked up these particular survivors from Dunkirk that the men not only recited Psalm 91, but they shouted it aloud at the top of their lungs, saying, 'Our trust, out loud, releases faith.'" I have a friend who had to flee his country, and this is another personal experience. Whereas we saw that God will do it for many, but he does it for individuals. He had come back into his country and had got off the aircraft, and then found that his car panes were all had infidel on. And as he was about to drive off, he was met with a gust of gunshot right through his front window. But he was not hit, and yet they found the bullets in the back of the seat where he had been sitting. He had to duck underneath the dashboard, driving the car like that, and he couldn't even see the road. But he went by the electric wires alongside, so that when they turned, so he did. Yes, his life was in danger, but God was able to save him, for he saves until the uttermost. May the Lord bless you today, and may the Lord continue to protect you, as indeed you put your trust in him and speak the word. Yes, speak the word out loud, and you will find that he is not only living and real, but he will protect you personally. May the Lord bless you this week. God bless you.
Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Do you remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. They're pushing and shoving and crowding my mind. So for my sake, teach me to take one day at